Let's try sorting out the very latest on jobs.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon in for Jeremy Hobson. Welcome to the Morning Open, our look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Some mixed signals this morning on the all-important labor front. The payrolls processing firm ADP reports private employers added 217,000 jobs in the past month, which is ahead of analysts' expectations. But a separate report from a jobs placement firm shows the number of planned layoffs is up. Some possible explanations in a moment, but first, where's Wall Street? Investors are trying to climb back out of the hole they dug yesterday. Right now, the Dow is flat, down a single point. The NASDAQ has added 1 point. The S&P 500 is flat as well. Let's turn now to Richard DeKayser with Parthenon Group, a Boston-based management consulting firm. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob.
Let's take that ADP payroll report first. 217,000 new jobs unofficially. Sounds good ahead of this Friday's government tally.
Well, it is good. This is about the third month that we've seen numbers around 200,000. That's the best three-month string in about 5 years. So this is the easy one. Employment seems to be rising in the private sector. Good news all overall.
Well, but what about that report from Challenger Gray and Christmas? It found the number of planned layoffs at U.S. firms rose in February to its highest level in 11 months. How do you balance those two?
Well, I think in both cases, weather is a little bit at play. So, for example, in January this year, prior to February, we had the lowest level of layoffs, according to Challenger folks, in, well, ever, since they've been putting out their numbers back in 1993. That was probably due to blizzards. Business etiquette still doesn't require, but holds for laying someone off in a face-to-face way. So workers showed up again in February, and layoffs increased as a result, but I wouldn't take that single month too desperately in isolation. I think what's going on here has been short-term influence of weather.
And as we say, the big number out Friday. Richard DeKayser with the Parthenon Group, a Boston-based management consulting firm. Thanks for your insights.
My pleasure.
This year's Geneva Auto Show is supposed to be green. It even features an electric Rolls-Royce concept car. Other car makers have debuted electric and hybrid models. But a senior Ford executive says, don't get carried away, there won't be an electric car craze anytime soon. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
Ford's chief financial officer says don't expect a big surge in electric car sales. These vehicles are still very expensive. Even with government subsidies, they can cost double what a regular vehicle costs. And he says those subsidies must be in doubt as Western governments struggle to cut their spending. The Ford executive warns that electric cars may remain a plaything of the rich. Professor David Bailey of Coventry University agrees that we're not on the threshold of an electric revolution.
It's still coming, but it's going to be slow. And I think we'll also see very big improvements in gasoline engines, which will get their costs down as well. So consumers may well stick with that technology.
He says the brightest future for electric vehicles may be in China, where government and manufacturers are pouring billions into the new technology. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com. By Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in natural gas, nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. And by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at microsoft.com/cloud.
There's a move here in California to have the state jump on the nationwide bandwagon for a new kind of sin tax. And we've got LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus in the studio to talk about it. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
So what is California proposing here?
Well, a California lawmaker, William Monning, is proposing a penny per ounce tax on sweetened beverages. You're talking soda, you're talking sports drinks, you're talking energy drinks.
Isn't this going to hit low-income people the hardest?
Well, probably, because many studies show that lower-income communities and minority communities tend to be some of the highest users of soda pop. On the other hand, if that's where the obesity crisis is biggest, perhaps that's where you need to target. And right now, what we're seeing is Black communities, Latino communities have disproportionately higher levels of obesity. And overall in America, two-thirds of U.S. adults are either overweight or obese right now. So the problem is profound.
Now, this amounts to a sin tax. Do we know how effective it's been in other states that have instituted this?
You know, it varies with that sort of thing. For example, in 2009, the New England Journal of Medicine said that these sorts of taxes are a very good way to combat the obesity crisis. On the other hand, last year, the RAND Corporation came out with a report that said soda taxes that are at their current levels of about 4% or so are not really going to do the job. People will simply pay that extra amount for their sugar fix. On the other hand, RAND found that if you had a soda tax in the 18% range, or 18 cents for every dollar, that would have a big impact.
But a few pennies. Does that really discourage consumption? I mean, I'm already paying, in some cases, $5 or $6 for a 12-pack of sugar water.
All true, and you'll probably pay whatever you want if you want your fix. On the other hand, if our goal is to try and create resources that would give Americans just better opportunities to be physically fit, bike paths, basketball courts, gym memberships, well, that money has to come from somewhere. And as with all sin taxes, you're taking a negative behavior and trying to turn it into a positive.
Brace yourself, huh, if you're really into that sugar fix.
Or get up and take a walk.
David Lazarus is consumer columnist for the Los Angeles Times. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And finally, some unwelcome stowaways started bugging passengers, and now British Airways has had them forcibly removed, so to speak. This after a frequent flying Yahoo executive claimed she suffered 90 bed bug bites on what turned out to be literally a bloody flight from London to L.A. When it happened again on another flight, she lost patience with BA's response and created a website with graphic pictures. She chose a very effective double entendre name for the site, BABites.com. Effective because BA now says it grounded and fumigated two of its 747 jumbo jets. It's also apologized. I don't know, given the way the airline industry operates these days, I'd start checking your ticket for some kind of new charge now. Probably buried under something like the pest removal and mitigation recovery fee. Yeah, that's the ticket. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
That whole thing about reducing dependence on foreign oil, it's been around for a while.
Let us set as our national goal that by the end of this decade, we will have developed the potential to meet our own energy needs without depending on any foreign energy sources.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the great pipeline dream, next time on Marketplace from APM. That's American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.